Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Citizen International Digest. I'm Mel Gertov. I'll be reporting and commenting on the most important and sometimes the most neglected international news of the week. Here are today's top stories. RFK Jr.'s anti-vaccine campaign is costing many lives abroad. No let-up to Israel's military actions in and beyond Gaza. And the world's super-rich get enormously richer. First, RFK Jr.'s costly anti-vaccine campaign. A breakthrough preventive drug, lenacapavir, a twice-yearly injection that offers total protection from HIV, was to be rapidly rolled out across eastern and southern Africa. The main target, young women. About 300,000 of them were newly infected with the virus last year, half of all new infections worldwide. The plan has been derailed by the Trump administration's slashing of foreign assistance. President George Bush's legacy, a $6 billion a year program to fight AIDS, is being undone. About half of the doses were meant to be bought by the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Tuberculosis, and Malaria, a multilateral donor agency to which the U.S. has historically been the largest funder. But the Trump administration is also cutting deeply into its support to the Global Fund. Drug stocks are being depleted and will not be replaced. Vaccines in some locations are sitting in warehouses, with no one to distribute them. In South Africa, the New York Times reports, which has led much of the HIV work in close partnership with the U.S., clinical trials of vaccines that had participants ready for their first shot have been canceled, the immunizations left in the back of lab refrigerators. Scientists leading cure studies have laid off their staffs and turned out the lights in their departments, unquote. The United States will withdraw its financial support of Gavi, the global organization that helps purchase vaccines for children in poor countries. RFK Jr. told the group's leaders that last week, accusing them of having ignored the science in immunizing children around the world. Kennedy accused Gavi of ignoring vaccine safety. In its zeal to promote universal vaccination, said Kennedy, it has neglected the key issue of vaccine safety. I'll tell you how to start taking vaccine safety seriously. Consider the best science available, even when the science contradicts established paradigms. Until that happens, the U.S. won't contribute more to Gavi, he said. To which Gavi responded that its vaccine decisions were based on, quote, recommendations by the World Health Organization's Strategic Advisory Group of Experts on Immunization, a group of independent experts that reviews all available data through a rigorous, transparent, and independent process. This ensures Gavi investments are grounded in the best available science and public health priorities, unquote. Topping off all this bad news is a report by Lancet, the British medical magazine, that cuts to USAID might cause 14 million additional deaths over the next 5 years. USAID says the report actually saved 91 million lives between 2001 and 2021. No let-up to Israel's military actions in and beyond Gaza. The 12-day Israel-Iran war has obscured the ongoing failure to achieve a ceasefire in Gaza, though just the other day Trump said Israel had agreed to a 60-day ceasefire. But not Hamas. Israeli Defense Forces attacks have not let up. New attacks on Gaza City are underway, forcing people to flee the city once again. Trump has issued the usual overly optimistic assessment about a ceasefire, saying, I think it's close. I just spoke to some of the people involved. We think within the next week we're going to get a ceasefire. Close the deal, he's saying once more. He has nothing to say, however, about Israel's obstruction of humanitarian aid to Gaza. The Guardian reports that, quote, famine-like conditions reign in Gaza after a 2.5-month blockade imposed by Israel on all food until late May. Since then, Israel has allowed only a dribble of humanitarian aid into the strip. UNICEF said last week that 60% of water production facilities in Gaza were out of order and that there was a 50% increase in acute child malnutrition from April to May. Little has changed in the negotiating positions of Israel and Hamas. Prime Minister Netanyahu wants Hamas completely dismantled, while Hamas wants a permanent truce that ends the war before it will return the remaining 50 hostages. In short, there is no let-up to this genocide, which has resulted in about 6,000 additional deaths since the previous ceasefire in March. And the war goes on outside Gaza. The Israeli Defense Forces are still carrying out attacks in Lebanon, attacks by settlers on Palestinians in the West Bank, where 500,000 Israelis live among 3 million Palestinians, are accelerating. Those attacks injured more than 220 Palestinians during the first 5 months of 2025, the highest rate in years, according to the UN. Now settlers are also attacking Israel's military. The Times of Israel reports that, quote, members of the crowd of settlers held up a sign declaring the battalion commander is a traitor, referring to an IDF officer. A military official said some of the settlers tried to break into the Binyamin Regional Brigade military base in the central West Bank, threw rocks and sprayed mace at troops, and slashed the tires of army vehicles. Even the far-right members of Netanyahu's cabinet criticized the settlers' actions. The world's super-rich get enormously richer. Over the past decade, the Washington Post reports, the world's richest 1% have increased their wealth by nearly $35 trillion, according to a new analysis from the global anti-poverty group Oxfam International. That amount is, quote, more than enough to eliminate annual poverty 22 times over when calculating at the World Bank's highest poverty line of $8.30 a day. Billionaires, about 3,000 people, nearly all men, have seen their wealth increased by well over $6 trillion. Oxfam's report urges a public sector first approach, ending the ever greater involvement of private finance in public services. The very wealthiest should be taxed at around 2% of their assets, rather than be allowed to continue as an unaccountable oligarchy. But the record for trying to tax the wealthy in support of social need is poor in virtually all countries. Needless to say, that conclusion is especially true of the United States. In other news, NATO members agreed to meet the Pentagon's goal of 5% of GDP in military spending. Donald Trump is suddenly in love with NATO, declaring at their recent meeting that it's not a ripoff, contrary to everything he had been saying about NATO for years. Flattery will get you everywhere, as the Washington Post reported, quote, Trump's turnaround was the payoff of a major effort by other NATO members to flatter him. Trump stayed overnight in a royal palace, received fawning messages from NATO's Secretary General, and watched as one leader after another took the floor in a closed-door meeting to praise him for his leadership and his recent attack on Iran, unquote. All but one of the 32 NATO members, Spain, agreed to meet the 5% goal. Whether they actually will remains to be seen. Next, Trump orders a reopening of national parks to exploitation. The Trump administration said that it would open up 58 million acres of backcountry in national forests to road construction and development, removing protections that had been in place for a quarter century. The forests are the Tongass National Forest in Alaska, North America's largest temperate rainforest, Reddish Knob in the Shenandoah Mountains, one of the highest points in Virginia, and millions of acres adjacent to the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness in Idaho. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins announced plans to repeal Bill Clinton's 2001 roadless rule that had preserved the wild nature of nearly a third of the land in national forests in the United States. Rollins said the regulation was outdated. Once again, she said, President Trump is removing absurd obstacles to common sense management of our natural resources by rescinding the overall restrictive roadless rule. She said the repeal, quote, opens a new era of consistency and sustainability for our nation's forests. Well, once again is correct. Once again, this president is warring on the environment. Environmental groups said the plan could destroy some of America's untouched landscapes and promised to challenge the plan in court. Democrats protest mass layoffs planned at the State Department. 60 congressional Democrats wrote to Secretary of State Marco Rubio to protest the planned layoff of several hundred career Foreign Service officers currently in the United States. The Democrats also complained about the freezing of Foreign Service tests for hiring new officers and Rubio's reorganization plan that will cut over 100 State Department offices, as many as 2,000 people, that deal with global criminal justice, women's rights, and democracy. Those are issues that Rubio has defined as belonging to, quote, radical political ideology. A federal judge in California ordered a pause in the firings, but after the Supreme Court's ruling on June 26 restricting the authority of judicial injunctions, that order may go away. A gay pride parade in Budapest defies the government. Tens of thousands of Hungarians, including members of the LGBTQ+ community and their supporters from Brussels and around the world, marched in a pride parade in Budapest on Saturday. They defied efforts to ban the event by Prime Minister Viktor Orbán, a self-declared illiberal Christian conservative whose Fidesz party adopted draconian legislation in March banning public events that portray or allegedly promote homosexuality. The law, sharply criticized by the European Union, was adopted under the guise of protecting children. It restricted the right of freedom of assembly and authorized the use of facial recognition technology to identify and punish participants in events that violate an earlier Child Protection Act that outlaws displays of divergence from self-identity corresponding to sex at birth, sex change, or homosexuality, quote unquote. The legislation was clearly directed at Pride festivities, which have taken place annually in June in Budapest, generally without incident since 1995. Next, here are some updates, starting with Trump's trade talks, not many wins. With a July 9 deadline looming for the Trump administration to impose new tariffs on countries that fail to conclude a trade agreement with the U.S., he can count on only two framework understandings with China and the U.K., and just one preliminary agreement with Vietnam. Trump nearly halted talks with Canada when the Canadians decided to carry out a long-threatened tax on digital services provided by Microsoft, Amazon, and others. He called the tax egregious, but Canada has relented. Still, it faces a 10% tax on all goods and a 50% tariff on steel and aluminum. Even the deal with Vietnam is only partial, since Vietnamese exports will still face 20% tariffs, they had been 46%, and 40% on goods transshipped from China. Trade talks with the EU, Japan, and many other countries remain at a standstill, which may result in postponement of the July 9 deadline. In fact, talks with Japan may be on the verge of breaking down. On Monday, Trump described Japan as spoiled and hinted that he will send a letter declaring the trade talks over. As usual, threats are his chief MO. An analysis by the Washington Post points to a further complication for Trump's trade plans, the huge increase in the national debt. Quote, because the government would need to borrow more money to cover the anticipated $3+ trillion shortfall, interest rates would likely rise. A stronger dollar, a side effect of higher rates, would make U.S. exports more expensive and encourage Americans to buy imports, producing a wider trade gap, as economists are saying. Thailand's prime minister is suspended. Last week, I reported that Thailand's prime minister, Pettongtorn Srinivasrajah, who has been in office less than a year, was being harshly criticized for a leaked phone call she made to Cambodia's former strongman, Hun Sen. Now, 36 Thai senators have successfully sued in constitutional court to suspend her from office. Thai politics is in upheaval. The Constitutional Court has the power to remove Pettongtorn, who is the youngest prime minister in Thailand's history. Finally, more information that obliterates Trump's obliteration claim. In my Tuesday commentary, I pointed to expert opinion indicating reasons to doubt Trump's claim that U.S. bunker buster bombings obliterated Iran's nuclear sites. In a nutshell, Iran's nuclear program has clearly been set back, but the human and material resources for a restart remain. New information strengthens the doubts. First, U.S. intelligence picked up chats among Iranian officials in which they expressed surprise that the U.S. airstrikes had not damaged the nuclear sites to the extent they anticipated. Second, the director of the International Atomic Energy Agency said from the evidence he had seen, Iran might be back in the nuclear business, quote, in a matter of months. Rafael Grossi said, quote, it is clear that there has been some severe damage, but it's not total damage. Iran has the capacities there, industrial and technological capacities. So if they so wish, they will be able to start doing this again, unquote. And that's the Global Citizen International Digest for the week. I'm Mel Gertov. Thanks for listening and take good care.